prayer series was then followed by a series on the Beatitudes. And that series was based on the book, Jesus' Plan for a New World by Richard Rohr. And we took some time to explore Jesus' Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount as a way of seeing the world differently. It's about seeing ourselves as part of God's family and about seeking God's kingdom, what God's kingdom looks like through the teachings of the Beatitudes. These are teachings in which Jesus invited us to see the world turned upside down, that our values, that our cultural values in the world are different than God's values for us, and that by opening ourselves to Jesus' teaching, we can have a change in our perspective to see all people as brothers and sisters in relationship with us, and that through relationship with God, God is seeking the best of all people in local and global communities. And with love, God's love, and our love for each other at the center of our lives, that personal transformation is possible and change in the world is possible. So using our theological imagination and the works of the prophets, rooting ourselves again in prayer and contemplation, and using Jesus' imagination for a world turned upside down and all of us participating together to reimagine our world today, all of this is intended to root us in realizing that we have some serious challenges in our world. Like when you look at our series slide for this series, which is I think the next slide, you can see this is what we're trying to attempt to talk about this morning, is that there is this reality in our world that things are broken. And when we change our perspective to having God's lens at the center of our lives, we can change the world. So some of these topics that we're going to be talking about today, we're talking about science and faith. Some of the topics that we're going to be addressing in future weeks are spirituality and youth, business and medical ethics, anxiety, the opioid crisis. We're going to be talking about race, and we're going to be talking about social responsibility. So these are all the topics that you have said are important to you, and how do we talk about these things in our community? So the first thing that I'm going to do this morning is to invite us to think about how we're going to have these conversations, because these are some challenging topics, and we are going to see things differently. One of the things that I've learned in my life is that difference should be celebrated, and diversity is a gift of God. And when we can open ourselves to hearing the thoughts, ideas, and feelings of others, it can really enable us to open our perspectives to see more of God's imagination for the world. So how do we have these conversations matters. So I'm going to invite you all to participate in setting up like an agreement or a covenant of how to have the conversation. And the first thing that we always do, which is also true in small groups, is we recognize that every person is a child of God. And we will try to create an open space for everyone to be able to participate. And we want to listen to everyone's perspective, and we want it to feel safe for everyone to be able to express their views. Another thing that I'm hoping we can all agree on is that we can agree to disagree with one another and that we will value relationships over opinions. Something else that I have down is if you don't understand something, ask a clarifying question. It's always better to ask a question than to jump to a conclusion. I'm guilty of that one. That's for me. It's always helpful to speak with I statements. And try to share your thoughts and feelings in a way that expresses your own ideas without trying to convince someone else that they're right or wrong. So how you frame something makes a difference. You can easily frame something like if someone says, this guy is blue. And then you're thinking, well, I think the sky is red. But instead you say, well, the sky isn't really blue. Do you hear how I did that? The sky is red. Like you're disagreeing with the other person instead of just expressing what you think. So it's hard to do, because we often do that, where we might reflect back something that someone else said and disagree with it. But it's always helpful to just give your own opinion, because sometimes it can come off the wrong way. And we're really listening for bridges of understanding, to expand our own minds and expand our own perspectives. So anything else you want to add to this agreement? How we're going to communicate with each other. Anything else you want to add? Alyssa, did you put that in here? Oh, you have the microphone. Ah! I promised Alyssa I would give this note. As we have this discussion, please kindly wait for Alyssa to come to you with the microphone so that everyone can hear one another. So if we can agree that I know you're going to be ready to jump in when I call on you. When I call on you is also direction for Alyssa to know where to go in the gathering. But if you would wait for the microphone to come, this way everyone in the room can hear what you would like to say, because we would like to hear all of your thoughts and expression of your feelings and opinions. So we're going to wait for Alyssa to arrive. Thank you, Alyssa.
Okay. What I'd like to share is that when I do my workshops, a lot, some of them get very deep. They say they're really deep. So one of the things we do is say, if somebody else, you see somebody else do something or they're saying something, we say, if I were saying what you're saying, I would say it this way, rather than disagree with them. So it puts it really to the person. It's not that you totally get that the other person has given you some kind of neat piece of information, but at the same time, you have a different perspective on it. So you can say that. So I just want to share that maybe people would like to try it out.
That's a great way to say it, because you're affirming what the other person says, and then say how you would say it yourself. Yeah, that's a good way to do that. Val?
I just want to say that when we do have these discussions, that we all develop our listening, totally understanding what being said.
Yes, listening is very important. Cindy? Thank you.
I'm going to share some of you all. Bring things from our past and history and we hope for them. One of the things, I have some background in actually Quaker worship, which is of course all about consensus. And one of the things they would do when we would have discussions that got very difficult was to not rush them into action intentionally giving them pause. And somebody would say something and you'd feel the tension rising, and somebody else in the group would just say, let's just build in a moment of silence. And there was something about that pause that just caused everybody to just kind of get centered again and remember the bigger picture. So I guess what I would ask is that we try not to rush through some of these conversations. Don't be afraid to just sit in whatever that discomfort is for a little while. It's hard, but it was good. I liked it.
That is a very good practice. So I'm going to keep our conversation moving at a slow pace, if that's okay with all of you, and we won't rush through, and we'll allow that silence to speak to us as well. Anyone else like to add to that comment?
There's a picture up there. What is that?
That is garbage in the middle of a city street.
Where?
I'm not sure what city street it is. So I think it's been taken with a wide-angle lens that kind of distorts the image of the street, but it's just somebody strung out garbage. So the idea behind that is that there is a reality in our world that we can't look at the world with rose-colored glasses, but we have to be able to address these really tough issues through the lens of our faith and to be able to contemplate and act in such a way that we're caring for God's creation and God's people. Jack?
Recently, a book that was written by Rabbi Sacks called Out to God's Name. And he makes a statement in the book that hatred paralyzes the mind and leads to underachievement. And I keep thinking about this every time I hear commentators. And the reason for it is that a considerable number of them seem to have a consummate hatred before they even begin their conversation. And I'm wondering about these people who conduct themselves this way, that their mind is so paralyzed that they cannot see the other side of the street. So I'm hoping in your conversations about social justice, we think a little bit about Rabbi Sacks and his wonderful book, Not in God's Name.
Not in God's Name by Jonathan Sacks. Very good book. Yes, thank you for mentioning that. And I think that's what our hope is not to that, right? To have, not to like have that hatred like we see so often in our media, but to have open minds and to put that love of God first. Yes.
I think one of the things through these conversations that it's important to remember is we all come from different backgrounds, different stories, different places in life. And for me to put myself in someone else's shoes, to understand their perspective to something, helps me to accept that. We're all growing, we all carry our own garbage, but for me not to just know that's wrong, that can't be right, this, no. But to see it from their lens and try and learn more about that person and how that really comes into play, even if I disagree.
Very good point. To be open to cultural differences, economic differences, social differences, and to have an open mind as we listen. Other things that we want to keep in mind as we're communicating with one another. So I know I'm spending a lot of time on this today because I'm hoping this lays groundwork for the rest of the series and we'll keep these things in mind as we go through, but I also want to be mindful of your time. And so today we're going to start by reflecting on faith and science and the relationship between faith and science, or faith and reason, or religion and reason, and all those different conversations have some different subtleties in them. But let's start and frame the conversation with this clip from the movie Jurassic Park.
One of these facts is already across that the path will open to the basic story you're about to take, and then other lines will come online, 6 or 12 minutes after that. Absolutely spectacular design. So no expense.
And we can charge anything you want, 2,000 a day, 10,000 a day, people will pay. And then there's the merchandise.
$1. This market is not going to cater only for the super rich. Everyone in the world has the right to enjoy these items.
Sure. Yeah, well, we'll have a coupon day or something.
Do you like humility before nature is being displayed here? Stay.
Well, thank you, Dr. Malcolm, but I think things are a little bit different than you and I here.
No, they're not.
No, it looks like now we haven't even seen the fire.
Don't you see the danger of selling an inherit? What you're doing for genetic powers, the most awesome force of plants that have seen you wield it like a kid that's not his dad's gun.
It's not an appropriate stuff.
Oh, thank you. If I may, I'll tell you the problem with the scientific power that you're using. It didn't require any discipline to attain it. You know, you read what others have done, and you took the next step. You didn't earn the knowledge for yourselves, so you don't take any responsibility for it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as you could, and before you even knew it again, you patented it and packaged it and slapped it on the plastic lunchbox, and now you're selling. Well,
I don't think you're giving yourself due credit. Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists are so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they just have to think they should.
Holmes, conduits on the verge of extinction. If I was to promote that, if I was to create a flock of conduits on this island, you would not have anything.
Yeah, hold up. This is some species that was obliterated by deforestation or the building of a dam. Dinosaurs had their shot, and nature selected them for extinction.
I think you don't understand. That's a lot I have to keep, especially from scientists. But how can we stand in the light of discovery and not act?
Oh, so they will discover it's violent and penetrate that that scars when it explores what we call discovery. I call the rape of the natural world.
The film Jurassic Park, the book by Michael Crichton, Jurassic Park, looks at the ethics behind the science of genetically engineering dinosaurs for a theme park. Would you want to take the kids to that theme park? My favorite class in college was a course I took on paleontology, and I just could not ever imagine going to a theme park filled with live dinosaurs. So, science and faith. It's so funny because I Googled science and faith. If you do that, it's amazing what pops up. There's a song entitled Science and Faith by a group called The Script. There is all kinds of websites from theological institutions to science-minded technological institutions to PBS, who have their very own series entitled Science and Faith, looking at the relationship, the ethics, the concerns, how do you figure out, can you have one, can you have the other, can you have both? So, what is the relationship with faith and science? It's been long debated. And so I'm wondering, what's the origin of the universe? Well, we're jumping right in. Let's start there, because I think that is the question that really kind of bubbles up all of the problems and challenges of perspective. As I was doing my research this week, that is the question that is most disagreed upon by religious scholars, by scientists, and everything in between. So what do you think are the origins of the universe? And how does that speak to your relationship between faith and science? This is a little question for early Okay, Jared's not touching him. Richard got it.
The Big Bang, 13.7 billion years ago.
The Big Bang? So what started the Big Bang 14 billion years ago? I just rounded it up. That's okay. To 14 billion.
How did that happen? How did that happen?
So how did the Big Bang happen? Right? I mean, that's the great mystery. Jeff? We're going to wait for Alyssa, though. I know. I know.
One of the things that I think about a lot, and I think when it, I have a very scientific mind, engineering mind, but I think when I think of space, the one thing that when I talk to others, I'm kind of rambling a little bit, is the whole concept of infinity. That's something I can't get my hands around, science can't explain it, and it's one of the mysteries of God, something that has no beginning and no end. And so, I don't think there ever was a beginning, but I can't really understand what that means.
Actually, I'm going to say that I believe there is more than one universe, and I'm certain that all of it started in the imagination of God, because the Word tells us that God had never had a beginning and doesn't have an end, so everything that ever would follow from that would have to be somewhere in whatever we believe to be God.
Yeah, scientists have recently proven that there are multiple universes, and that universes are constantly expanding and contracting against each other. Outside of the planetarium down in Florida in November, and heard a lecture on these expanding universes, and that the Big Bang is one theory about the beginnings and origins of our universe setting out our emotions, but then there are all these other, my brain couldn't even comprehend what I was hearing because it's so beyond the scope of my imagination. And that's where I think God's imagination comes in for me as well. This is so incredibly large. Well, that is a good question. And it's a question of authority. What is your authority? How is the Bible an authority for you? What kind of truth does the Bible communicate for you? And what are some of the other authorities that you take in your life? Mark?
So when I was a little person, everything was black and white. And it was so easy for me to say, God created everything. And so when my mother-in-law brought my kids these evolutionary charts for each one of them, I was appalled. I thought, how could she do this? But now that I see things more in a gray color, I see where in the beginning God created and science proved it.
Both. Yes. Well, how about this? How about we read the first opening chapters of Genesis together? Let's do that right now. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The opening of chapter 1 of Genesis, the first 5 verses. Betsy.
I've always felt that we get a lot of information from a lot of different sources, and that when we integrate them or look at their paradoxes, we get to a deeper meaning. And there are lots of things in the Bible that have been that are said somewhat poetically, but science is seeing as something that has a very solid background, like that we are creatures of light. And my work with vortexes and everything, it's the photons of light that are moving, that connecting with our own neuromuscular pattern, and we're bioelectrically connected. And we are indeed creatures of light. And things like that, life is full of them, because people have a lot of different ways of knowing. And the Bible is a way of knowing as well. It's not just a way of knowing, it represents how many people's different ways of knowing. All the people who wrote it, and all the people who carried the wisdom of the ages and that went in there. So, you know, I think a lot of times now, most scientists are not against, you know, don't see that separation between science and religion as a completely a done deal, as they maybe once did. I think now we understand that all these different ways of knowing are really enriched each other.
Yeah. In the Reformed tradition, we believe that Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible is filled with poetry and story and origins and how you understand the Bible makes a difference. How you believe that the Bible, is it telling a literal truth, or is it telling us something more about who God is? Is it more like art and less like math, right, when we read the Bible? So I have a question about this. Must we take the first several verses of Genesis literally in order to respect the spiritual authority of the Bible? And conversely, must the literal nature of the Genesis creation story be discounted in order to reconcile religion with evolution, astronomy, physics, and other sciences? I put this on the slide because this is a very big question. So what I'm asking is how do you read the Bible? Do you read it literally? Do you read it like art and poetry? Or and does that make a difference in how you understand the relationship between the Bible and science? Alyssa?
So if the Bible opened up and started reading, God made a mass and think it as a gas, which is a nuclear fusion that causes hydrogen to turn to helium at a temperature of millions of degrees, is that going to give you the same opening feeling? For me, it doesn't. So if you would take that literally, and especially in that time frame, are people going to understand that concept of nuclear fission and protons and matter and all of those little things that we've learned about, well, they're huge things, but they're tiny. Yeah, along the way, all of those things that we've learned along the way, I don't think in that time frame, like, you can't wrap your head around what a photon is or what an electron is. So to take it literally, to me, doesn't make much sense. It's more to communicate. And honestly, if we were handed all the answers, life would be just so much easier. But that's not the way life goes. We have to find our own way. We have our free will. We find our path. So that is a guide along the path. It's not a trick, in my mind.
And that's like, I read somewhere that science attempts to answer the question, how, and religion tries to answer the question, why. Simon?
I don't take it as science or art, I guess. I think there's art in there. It's almost like I look at it differently, like, how does this inform my faith and practice of my life? And all of these stories that are recorded and in there inform my faith, and so I look at it through a lens of faith, which is a mystery, and then I look at it to how does this inform my practice, and you see what would be contradictions throughout, and that all informs faith and practice as well.
I'm going to get the author's name totally wrong, but I believe it's Bruce Sangwin wrote a book called Darwin, Divinity, and the Dance of the Cosmos. And in that book, he talks about, it's amazing, he talks about the Big Bang Theory, he names it as the Great Flaring Forth. And he talks about the work of the physicists and evolutionary biologists who look at the Great Flaring Forth, that if the Big Bang Theory happens a fraction of a second faster, life could not exist. If it happened a fraction of a second slower, life could not exist. But then it happened at exactly the right rate and pace and time with matter. That's mystery. It's incredible mystery. How do we explain that? Yeah. Renee?
Can I ask you to flip back to the passage of Scripture? I think one of the things, and I do think about how the beginning of the world was formed, and I have changed my opinion over time about, and I'm not much less afraid of science and believe it to be real. But I think the thing that I just can't help but notice as I look at this passage is the heart of God, the creativity of God. And when you look at the whole passage in creation of man and then the love of God, that he wants us to take part. So I am awed by this first passage in Genesis of God's great love for us. It always looks like that, but I just wanted to say that.
I'm just being mindful of this. I know. Okay, go ahead.
You already said how incredibly fat and more fat God is, so much, much bigger than we can try to comprehend. A little bit basically compared, a dog will never understand his master, even though there's a strong relationship between the army's image bearers. And if you read this passage, then you feel that God has to express his mystery in human words. And it's only the tip of an iceberg. You only get a little tip of what could be behind it. It's much deeper, it's much wider, it's much bigger than that. So if it's literally, maybe yes, there's much more to it than that. So we remember that the real truth is all very, very partial.
I'm gonna skip the video. I'm just going to make a mention. I had another video in here of Neil deGrasse Tyson. Do you know who he is? He's an astrophysicist. He's brilliant. I found this really cool video on YouTube, and he talks about the relationship with faith and science. I can email it to anyone who's interested, but we're going to skip it because I see a lot of hands. Jeff?
Can we go back to
it? Back to the scripture.
When I read this, I can't help but think about the omnipotence of God. Let's take a look at one of these flowers. Did you ever see how that flower began? If you saw the root, it looks ugly. You'd probably throw it away. But you put it in the ground, and 6 months later, that's what you have. Now, how do you explain that? This ugly root wound up in that beautiful flower. That's God's power. I can't explain it. I can enjoy it, but I can't explain it.
Cindy and Barb.
I think going back to the question, you have to change the screen, but going back to some of those questions, we have to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of the Bible? And I think for many, the Bible brings us comfort because it helps us to understand the unknowable. And so we like having someone name what this experience is that we're having. There's some comfort in that. At the same time, though, I think to really get comfortable with the question we're talking about today is to also learn to be comfortable with how much is not knowable. And as humans, we kind of like to be able to name things and define things and understand things. It's kind of hard to say, I just don't know. It's a little scary. So this, to me, has a feeling of comfort, taking care of, there's a reason for all this. It's a little scary to go beyond that.
So I feel as though science and religion are kind of this notion of opposites attract, right? And usually when opposites attract, there's an underlying reason why. And for me, it's all about experience. And that's why I do the Bible. The Bible is a series of experiences. And to me, science wouldn't happen without a series of experiences. And I think when we approach life and we approach comparing the notion of religion and science, we do those through our own experiences. And I think that in all of this seems to be a common denominator. And without one, we really couldn't argue against the other. We need the notion and the theories behind science to compare the notion and the theories behind religion. And I think ultimately they come from the same place. And I think the scripture, in essence, proves that, because when God feels the darkness coming in, it gives him the opportunity and the experience to see the light. And then he brings the two together, and we're defined by both of those ultimately.
I want to be mindful of the time. We could keep going. We could. I hope this conversation is helpful. I know for me, having these conversations is incredibly meaningful because it propels me to remember Earth Day. It reminds me that when I take my children to the park, that I can just pick up the trash. It reminds me that every living thing, including that spider or that snake on the hiking trail that just scared the Jesus out of me, is a part of God's creation. It reminds me that every person that I come to every day of my life carries the image of God. It frames my life, it frames my experience, it frames my choices, it frames my very being. And so I'm going to encourage you to continue these conversations with your small group, with your friends, online, however you have conversations. I can even email that video by Neil deGrasse Tyson, which I think is a great video, and I will put that out. This is a helpful framework. Hopefully over the next few weeks we'll have more time to dig into these real-life questions, and I hope having these conversations can make a difference in your life, and that it is meaningful in growing and building your relationships, your connections with God and with others. So let's keep going. Next week we're going to talk about spirituality in youth. If you have any resources, experience on these topics, and you want to bring something into this conversation, please feel free to email me. Sue is still on vacation. She's getting back next week. So once she's back as well, you can email either one of us. But let's keep these conversations going, shall we? Thank you to everyone who participated today. And for anyone, if you're like me and you're an introvert and you want to pick up those clipboards right now and start thinking about framing a question, a wonderment, or a reflection that will pass out during the offering, I'm going to invite you to flat pass those clipboards now so that you can hold on to one of your thoughts. Okay, thank you all so much for being a part of this conversation. You truly are a gift to each other.
So, I was handed a couple of prayer requests prior to the gathering that I'd like to share, and I apologize if I do them at the service and you are the person who offered the prayer, please feel free to let me know for clarification. There is a joy and a, sorry, this is a concern, wrong comment. Continued help for my 90-year-old mom who has early onset Alzheimer's disease. There is a concern and a prayer requested for remembering someone's late sister and late husband's birthday today. Prayers for God's blessing on children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. There's a prayer asked for continued prayer for Puerto Rico. I also heard the news story this week for that, so we should offer prayers continuing for Puerto Rico. And this last one, is please pray for my son's success in the interview for medical school. Not my son. Someone's son is going through that, I think it's going to help those surgeons. But anyway, prayers for that young man. So I have a confession for Joe. I have Joanne's confession for the gathering that she's not going to say. She and I spoke before all this. She says, I'm really worried. I don't know that anybody's going to participate. Not a problem. If we could bow our heads and pray. Oh, dear God, what a great universe. God, what a fantastic creation. God, what a great conversation. As we sat listening to what everybody said today, let us pick out the parts. Let us think about them. Rich says energy is not ever lost. Not created, but continued. Remind us that we should take the energy from today's conversation and keep it going. Dear God, allow us to take the words that we've heard today, the thoughts, the wonderments, the prayers, the concerns, and the joys that you have given us, and allow us to keep that energy, keep it going. remind us to not throw away the root of the plant that could grow up to be a beautiful flower. Let us stop, look, enjoy, not think about too much, but share and enjoy the beauty of each creation that you've given us. Dear God, like Jack said, we can't figure it out, but we can enjoy it. Let us leave this space with the contributions from each one of us and the thoughts from those who did not share, so that we can continue to live your word, so that we can address the concerns that we've heard from the prayers that we've had, that we can find the beauty, maybe not exactly find the answers, God, but at least enjoy the journey and get to the place we'd like to go. Dear God, we pray this in your name.
Now we come to our time of offering. We give of ourselves and we give out of gratitude for the amazing things that God has done and continues to do in our lives. So let's receive this morning's offering.
Thank you.
personal privilege and to say, Val, we're going to miss you. Val is going to Texas for the summer, and you are such a gift, and we love you, and we're going to miss you till we see you in September. A few reflections. I cried tears of happiness.